which will take us through most of this year, looking forward to beginning that next year. But this morning we draw to a conclusion the short series we began a couple of weeks ago. It's only 3 weeks on the role or the church elder as a function, as a role within the church. And you remember there's one or two reasons why we're doing this. First of all, it is a noble task. The Bible describes the role of the church elder as a noble task, something that's worth aspiring to. And as we're looking for an elder, we could do with another elder in the church. Perhaps it's a reminder to the men, not just to think, well, I'm a Christian, that's all that matters, but to be as godly as you can, as you walk with the Lord, and as the Lord gives you these gifts, and as you look at the qualifications of an elder, and you remember last week, they are ordinary qualifications, except perhaps the ability to teach and to manage your own family and so forth. So it's to aspire to that. And also, we're doing this because the role of the church elder, or the quality of the elder within the church, will determine the spiritual temperature of the church. If you've got elders that are cold and lukewarm, chances are your church will stay at that level. But where your elders are on fire for God, they will raise the bar and they will set an example for the rest to follow. We cannot underestimate the role of the church elder or the position of an elder and functioning his job. So over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at, first of all, the role of the elder. You remember feeding, protecting, leading, caring, loving. We won't go through all them again, but the role is basically shepherding. It's a great picture, to feed and to protect. And if you think that's an easy task, it's not easy. We're looking at the sheep there. They're all together. God's people, human nature, our desire is always to wander. Our natural tendency, Romans 7, is not always to do the right thing. The role of the church elder, as it is for all the members, is to make sure that we're walking in the straight and narrow. We're accountable to each other. So it's quite difficult to keep God's people living and moving the way they should in these areas. It's a noble task. We are tasked with caring for God's people, the people that Jesus bought with his own blood. That is very special. That's more than £1 million bank balance that your boss might say. That's your fund that you have to work with. We're dealing with the people that Jesus died for. Very, very important. So the qualifications for this are ordinary. You remember, most of the qualifications for an elder relate to morality. Not being drunk and being materialistic, a one-woman man, and so forth. And we looked at that last time, our tongue, our temper, materialism, and so forth. And also spirituality. We're not just moral people. We are spiritual people, elders and non-elders alike. Our task is to be holy, hospitable, called by the Holy Spirit, the elder is. And then thirdly, ability. The ability to teach God's word. The test is the ability to manage his family, if a potential elder. How is he, as the head of his household, does his wife and children respect him? If not, chances are the church won't respect him either. There's obviously a way that he's managing that's not working. So, and thirdly, under ability, the actual time to do the job. You can have the qualifications morally and spiritually, but if you don't have the time, then that's important as well. So, in short, the spiritual temperature of the church very often depends on its elders. Lukewarm elders equals a lukewarm church. Elders on fire equals a church on fire. Now, one of the reasons why we're doing this as well is this, because where you've held elders, a church will grow. But one of the other things, and this is what we're looking at now, is the church elder and church members. You don't often get this in books of eldership, how the elders and church is sometimes just skimmed over fairly easily. In fact, the book I recommended to you last week, Finding Church, Finding Elders and Deacons, doesn't even mention how the church and elders are really to relate to each other. The elders does the role, That's the qualifications, and somehow it'll all just work and we'll all ride off into the sunset holding hand in hand. It doesn't work that way. And because we are a fallen people, we are fallen natures, this very much requires work. And that's what we're looking at just now. We're about to look at the church elder as they relate to church members, how they are to relate to each other's. And as I says, it's not often done. Often when someone's inducted, I've been to so many induction services where the charge is given to the pastor. You're now the pastor. Care for the folk. This is what you are to do. But very little is often said, now this is your pastor or these are your elders. This is how you must relate to them. That bit it seems to be out of balance. And this is an attempt to address the balance. So, for the past 2 weeks, Dan and I have been under the microscope or the role and the qualification of elders. What we're doing this morning is now it's the chance of the church member to go under the microscope to see, is this how you relate to your elders in the church here? It's quite a heart-searching time, but it needs to be done. Because sad to say, in many churches, elders get such a hard time. It's not a job of joy. If you ask them, it doesn't always feel like a noble task. It's hard work. They feel a bit browbeaten. I was mentioning a book to Heather this morning, a very good book I commend to you, by Kent Hughes and Barbara Hughes, Liberating Ministry from the Success Syndrome, it's called. In other words, looking at church life, church ministry, and what makes for success. It's often not the things we would say, but it's faithfulness and prayer and fellowship and those type of things. But he mentions this, that in his book, when he co-authored this book with his wife, targeted to encourage fellow ministers and Christian workers in their labours for Christ, he says this, the book chronicled our early struggle in a small church, how we came to grips with success, first biblically, then practically, and over the years, because of this book, loads of pastors and leaders wrote to him, can you come and talk to us and speak to us on this topic as well? And he says this, in our travels we discovered this. Pastors and elders as a group are one of the most hurting and abused segments of our society. That's not often something you hear. But as I go to pastors' conferences, you can rest assured that it's not easy being a pastor trying to manage God's flock, because our natural desires, we do not want to be managed. We don't like words like obey and submit, and there's reasons for this. And therefore, it is a struggle to be an elder. It's a struggle to do the job of an elder or a pastor, and we need to look at this. This is my fifth pastorate. This church didn't have a reputation, as far as I know, not a bad reputation, certainly when I came. The other churches I went to did. They were either called a pastor's graveyard or a poison chalice. A number of times I was told, better you than me, John. Better you than me. I wouldn't be seen dead pastoring that church. Two of the first churches I pastored, I lasted longer than the predecessors, but the people who came after me, the churches closed. One closed, and another whole group of people came and changed the whole ethos of the church. So in other words, God removed those two and put others in. Other churches that grew significantly. And it is not easy to be an elder or a pastor. And most of the problems don't come from outside. They come from inside as we, elders and pastors, try to do their job. That's why many jump ship and they think it's too difficult, it's too stressful to manage God's people. And that's something to admit. Sometimes your wife or husband has a hard time loving you. So it's hard when you've got a whole congregation to try and love. It's even more so when sometimes your children can give you grief. And we are tasked with that list that I gave you earlier. It is not easy. But it is easy if we know how we are to relate to each other. So that's why this is important to do. It's messy. This is not a sermon, believe you me, that I enjoy preaching. I've preached a similar sermon to this in each of the churches, simply because it's important. If we can address these things, we can stop division and so forth happening later on. And often, through a sermon like this, there is hopefully more respect for both roles, and we're able to look at them. It is not easy. Indeed, the pastor and the elders probably not the best. This is a sermon for me to preach in another church when I'm not their pastor, because it can come across as, you're just stunned, John, I'm listening to you. You're just saying, you just want an easy time. You just want folk to get off your case. This is the only way this sermon's going. And so it's hard to preach this in your own church. It's easier to preach in another church. Pastor should, or elder should say to somebody else, why don't you come and preach and say this? It's hard to do it in your own church, because it can appear to you just to be self-serving. And because of the nature of it, obey and submit to others. But it's not easy. It isn't easy. And it's never been easy. Look at Moses trying to lead the children of Israel. If you read any of the things that he said, it wasn't easy. If you look at David trying to lead the people when they tried to stone him at times. Jesus with his own disciples, he has to say, get behind me, Satan. Paul, some of the churches were good. Some of the churches he had to defend his ministry. That is the Christian life. And there's no point in putting their head in the sand to say that that doesn't happen. That we have to work at this. We have to work at the relationship of elders and churches. So let's look at this then. There are four things I want to look at. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Four things, very quickly, I want to look at this morning as we look at how what the scriptures say very plainly, how we are to relate to each other, elders and church members. The first one relates to obedience. This is the first, and it's the longest point. When I get to the end of this, don't think, wow, we're going to, I wish I'd brought my sleeping bag. This is the longest point. The other ones aren't quite so long. Very clearly, obey your leaders, submit to their authority. Leaders here obviously include elders. We touched on this earlier, that the job of the leader is to oversee. We lead. We are to lead by example. We are to lead the folk gently and so forth. We know all these verses. But there is the word authority in here as well. And really, it comes from two areas. There's the authority through the position of the role of elder, or the title even if you want, the role of elder within the church. The position within the church carries authority. Christ is the head of the church. He governs his church. It is his church. But how does he govern it? He places in it elders. One time it was apostles, and through elders the church is built, as you remember, on the foundation of the apostles' teaching and so forth. But he appoints elders, leaders in the church. That's a very wise thing. It's the way the whole of society is governed. We function better under authority, under leadership. You see in the house, a husband and a wife with children. The children don't rule the roost, although sometimes they do, but they shouldn't. You know yourself, if you're walking along a street and children are unruly, and you think mum and dad are wow, have you no control over them? Are they telling you what to do? It just does. You just know, you just recoil. It's not natural. Mum and dad are to lead and to guide their children. I was up at Muswell Hill, I think it was just yesterday. I was in a restaurant there, trying to find a wee quiet place for Lucille and I, and there was these four guys. There's always one out of four that speaks three times louder than the other guys. I don't know. You always get that in every group. You say, hey, you could turn it around and talk the way them. So I moved out the way. No sooner there sat, three families come in with all their kids. But I said to Lucille, I've moved here, but look at what's happened now. I mean, all these folk have come in. They were the nicest kids. You wouldn't even know they were there. I remember saying to Lucille, look at that. How did they manage that? That is so good. You didn't know much about them, but you knew here are children with their mum and dad, and it just seemed to work ever so well. It's great when you see it. And it's good when you see it in the church. You have in employment, you have a director or a manager, an employer, employees. There is a structure because things happen better that way. It has to be that way. You have it in so many areas of life. Head teachers in schools with other teachers, home, parents, husbands, wives. And it's the pattern in the local church as well. This pattern of authority or subordination. The Son is not less than the Father. The Father and Son are both God. But the Son is submissive to the Father. It works. There is no shame in that. There is no demoralization. The Father is God. The Son is God. I have come to do your will. And it works in the Godhead. And it has to work that way in the church. It can't be any different. We are all equal before God, but in terms of role, in terms of position, God gives leaders to the church. But the thing is, God's people don't always take this seriously enough. And we'll look at reasons why this is in a moment or two. They think, well, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, don't tell me what to do, but we're all equal before God. But it's not the way. God places elders in his church and gives them a specific role. And our task is to recognize that role and the authority that it comes with. Let the person do their job. Let them lead. Let them guide. Francis Chan, in his wee book that I'm reading just now, Letters to the Church, in the second chapter of that book, talks about the sacredness of the church, the blueprint of the church, and how awesome it is. You remember the blueprint in the Old Testament? You remember those times when God seems to do strange things? The Ark of the Covenant put on a new cart and it goes to fall and somebody reaches out his hand and God strikes him down and you go, whoa, that seems an overreaction. That is God's holiness, taking things seriously, that we have a tendency not to take things seriously and play them down. And you see this in the rest of the Old Testament. But when God designed the temple, no one would have taken a sledgehammer to that and said, no, we don't like this. You just wouldn't do it. This is the temple. This is the way it's to be built. This is the tabernacle. This is the Ark of the Covenant. These are the holy vessels. And yet when it comes to the church, it's very easy for God's people, isn't it, to say, well, no, there's a role of elder or whatever, but We'll just do it this way. And it's to recognize the role and the authority. For it was He, God, who gave some to be, and the list goes on, pastors and teachers, to prepare people for works of service. The church with elders as leaders is God's design. They are over you in the Lord. Over you in the Lord. So some are to lead and others are to follow. The authority is in the role. The authority is also through the word. We have no authority in and of ourselves. We are not the Pope. We don't have a chair and I speak ex cathedra from the chair. Everything I say is infallible. The elders don't have that authority. But we have the authority as we minister God's word. It's the word that brings the authority when we begin to fulfill this role. We can't say it, do it simply because I say it, but because this is what God's word says. This is the authority. You remember where Paul says in Ephesians 2, consequently you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people, members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of him. Now, Dan and I don't write letters and say that. But we can come with Paul's letters and say, this is the word of God. This is the scriptures. That is where the authority comes, where we minister it in that way through God's word. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you, whom the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer. So, the role and the job itself as we teach God's Word, the authority through the Word as we minister God's Word. That's why Paul could say, if you don't obey our instructions. We can say, if you don't obey Paul's instructions, Moses' instructions, David's instructions, Jesus' instructions, our authority comes in that way as well. As I said, it doesn't mean that we're above reproach, but we need to be careful in that. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it's brought by two or three witnesses. But those who sin are to be rebuked publicly so that others may take warning. The church has authority to appoint and dismiss its own elders in that way. It's not blind obedience, but we need to recognise the role and the function, the authority that comes from the role and also from the way in which it's administered as we preach God's word. Now, why are we to obey? The writer in Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 13, obey them and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you. That is why we keep watch over you, and that is our job, is to care for you and to bring you on and to develop you. We are not your enemies. A number of times I've had to say this to churches, I'm not your enemy. Because you have a tendency to go this way and I'm trying to bring you back doesn't make me your enemy. The elders are not your enemies. The elders you should love and respect and care. We are well aware of our task. Our job is to recognise, well, if you're an elder, wow, you're watching out for me, or you should be watching out for me, and therefore I would want to obey. We are men who need to give an account. Look at verse 17. We keep watch over you as men who must give an account. James says, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Jesus himself says, everyone to whom much has been given, much will be demanded. It's for sure we sin almost, well, if there's one area of our life or one member of our body in which we sin with the most, it's with our mouth, it's with our tongue. And the more you use that, the more you're likely to sin. And that's why elders, in many ways, are more likely to get it wrong, simply because of the way in which we minister. And therefore, we are under greater judgment. And therefore, if you know that your elders must give an account, that we will stand before him, that should call forth sympathy in some way. To say, wow, yeah, you're first in the queue. I don't really want to make life harder for you as you seek to carry out your role. The other reason why we are to obey, Paul says, so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. If there's nothing encourages an elder more than seeing God's people serving and working and walking with the Lord, there's nothing discourages elders more when that isn't the case, when they do not walk as they should, and you find it hard to manage them. Some of the common things that sometimes said to pastors and elders by church members is, can I just say, and seeking to correct and to put elders right almost at every turn, or we want to know. I had this in one church, especially for years this went on. A few of us have been talking, and we want to know. And that is not the case. What is needed is you need to be able to trust your elders, and you don't need to know everything. Where churches have had weak leadership, they will always fill the void. Wherever there's weak eldership, somebody will take the lead, if it's in a family or a workplace or whatever. There has to be leadership, and if the leaders don't lead, somebody else will. And if a church has a history of this, and then you come in to lead, it's very hard. That's certainly been my experience, where leadership has been weak, and I've come in, and people recoil, because they're used to holding the reins and leading, and not handing them over to the elders, because they have taken the lead, and that will always happen. So they will say, we want to know. We want to know what's happening. We want to know about this. And there are times they do need to know, but there are times when they do not need to know. It's not helpful for them to know, but what they need to do is to trust their elders. It can be, the ministry can be anything but a joy at times. You remember Moses. Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance to his tent. The Lord became exceedingly angry. God's people need to hear this. Our natural tendency is to moan and whinge. And the elders are usually the first in line to receive this, especially when we're talking about church. It's the elders or the deacons or the pastor's fault. And the Lord was exceedingly angry because of it. And we're told, and Moses was troubled. That's an understatement. Moses was troubled. Do you want to know what? You know what came next from Moses? This is a troubled Moses. Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive them? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their forefathers? Where can I get meat for them? They keep wailing, give me meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, put me to death right now. Moses got to the point by saying, I'd rather be dead than carry. No, it's too much, Lord. It is too much. There are pastors jump ship and they think it's too much for my family, for my sanity. It's too much. The people are too much. I'm trying this and it's going nowhere and it's very difficult. And I'm trying to lead. And Moses became so frustrated, he struck the rock, you remember, and excluded him from there. Mentioned David as well, Jesus' disciples, Paul, and the local church. It is not always the case that pastors and elders minister in joy. But that is down to the church to help to facilitate that. Our job is to bring joy to you, and your joy is to bring joy to us, that we might minister in joy. I wonder if we minister in joy, the joy of the Lord, as we serve. Another motivation is obey for your own good. For what advantage would that be to you? It makes sense, doesn't it? If you upset your wife, don't be surprised if your dinner's not quite at the right temperature the next time you get it. Don't be surprised if you reap what you sow. It's a natural thing. If you upset your boss on the Friday, you're going to get both barrels on Monday when you walk in. It happens. If you upset people or you rob them of joy, it's of no benefit to you. Sometimes churches members don't always get this. I've been in churches where the elders have had a strip torn off them, put into place because, well, you know, I just got it off my chest. You know me, Pastor, I just say it the way it is. And elders and pastors are in bits. And sometimes it doesn't take much. I remember, did I tell you the time when I was, as a young teenager, I saw with my friends? Did I tell you that? Looking around you? No, don't remember that? No. Just about 12 of us, 10 of us, just running around stealing apples or whatever you do. Tom Sawyer, those days, stealing lead off roofs. I wasn't a Christian, I hate to add, during this time. And there was a guy that we just didn't really like. And we saw him. We didn't hate him. We didn't want to rough him up. We were just playing around. And a couple of us just hit him, not fiercely, just roughing him up. And that's all it was. We didn't want to put the guy in hospital. And I remember, he went into the house and his mum came out and his mum says, what have you done to my son? My son came in here and he passed out in the hall floor. And I remember thinking, really? We never did anything. He's asked it. He's winding you up. And then I thought, what did I do in this? I think I hit him twice. I don't know what it was. Wee ho, boom. Yeah, that's me doing my wee bit. Everybody's done their wee bit. And then I thought, here there were 12 of us. And if he got 24 of those, that's assault. That's assault. But from my perspective, I only hit him twice. That wasn't much. And church members need to hear this as well. I'm just saying this wee thing, pastor or elder. But then there's another one comes and that you don't know of. And it's death by a thousand cuts. It's never anything big. It's not, pastor, I hate you and your wife and your ministry and your kids are ugly. You don't get that. That doesn't come. That's easier to cope with. Because then you can be disciplined by the church if you talk like that. But it's usually just a wee dig here and a wee dig there, and it's just me, and you don't realise there's another 20 folk behind you who have said the same thing. Happens in this church, happens in other churches. We need to take note of that, that our work would be a joy and not a burden. You don't always have to get it off your chest. Obey for your own good. Obey for your own good. It's for your own sake as well. Obedience. Submission. Looking at this different, because it's slightly different from obedience. This is often the area of conflict. It's not sometimes what's right or wrong. Obey, this is right, that's wrong. Sometimes it's just an area of differences of opinions. That's often where most of the grief can come from elders. And what submission means is this. That's what it means. Give way. In an impasse, when it's your attitude, your view against the elders' view, you submit to the elders. Let them do their job. Perhaps they know more than you. Perhaps they know more of the situation. This is often the case sometimes in church meetings where, pastor, we want to know all this stuff. I say, well, no, it's not good for you to know that because people will start muttering in dark corners. It's good for you to know this, and that is all. And to trust your elders, to submit to your elders. Why don't people submit to their elders? Because they see weaknesses in their elders, perhaps. They've lost respect for them. Can I say, if that's ever the case, if you lose respect for your elders, get rid of your elders, or you leave the church. You cannot have a dog and bark yourself. Heard that wee expression? If you have elders and you don't obey them or you don't submit to them, you don't have elders. In your mind, you might as well not have an elder because you don't treat them as elders. Church congregations need to hear this. And I hesitate to say this because if Derek Prime, how many of you know Derek Prime? A few of you know Derek Prime. He's a very godly man. He said loads of years experience. Talking about the pastorate, the first year they idolise you. Second year they criticise you. The third year they ostracise you. That's the pattern usually. It's never really been my pattern. But that's often a pattern. So if that's the case, and I've just said if you don't respect your elders, get rid of them. No point in having an elder if you don't respect them. You're just pretending. When no pastor would last beyond year two, would they, really, if you did that, if you're quick to get rid of your elders, because, yeah, I liked them for year one, year two, I really have no time for them now, and God, you may have put them in place, I'll keep them right, Lord, don't you worry, thank you, we'll keep Dan and John right, we'll make sure that they toe the line. If that's the case, you really need to stop and to think, Lord, help me to respect this elder. I've lost respect from them. And why is that? And to talk to them. Because it's so, that church will not function. It will not function right. In the Old Testament, you remember, there are times when you just give it. Church members are too quick to raise their hand against the Lord's anointed, shall we say, in that way. David, far be it that I should do this. The Lord put him in, the Lord will take him out. Unless it's obvious sin. But it's amazing how quickly church members lose respect for their elders and say, well, I can do it better. It's a serious thing for an elder to harm the flock. And it's equally true for a church member who stands in the way of an elder trying to do his job. It's the Holy Spirit who has made us overseers, recognised by the church, but we need to take this on board. Another reason why is not just because they lose respect, is because I know this better. It goes back to respect for the role. It's London, Northern Ireland are very different. I remember when I was here, you want to whenever you said you're a minister, an elder, a vicar or whatever. It's a conversation killer in London. It really is. They just give him a wide berth. Northern Ireland, yes pastor, no pastor, three bags full pastor, jump, how high pastor. Very different. The shock was immense. I thought I was on a different planet. Never mind moving from London to there. Everything's so busy, don't tell me what to do, pastor, elder. I'm just up there. Pastor is almost godlike. I think they swing the other way. Pastor can do no wrong. But somewhere in the middle has to be the place where we meet in this. And that we don't always know better. The elder has the qualifications. You don't have the qualifications. And it's humility that says, I don't know. Maybe the elders are not lazy. Maybe they are actually at work. Maybe we don't always see what they're doing. It's one of the things of the job. You have not only to be busy, you have to be seen to be busy. Because God's people, most of you don't know what I get up to during the week. So you have to trust your pastor that he's not playing computer games 9 to 5 with an occasional visit and then preaching a sermon on a Sunday and then I'm down the boozers right afterwards. You have to trust your elder. Trust your pastor. Though you don't know everything, you have to do this. It's a very real problem. Some folk even say, well, why should I submit and obey? You work for me. We pay your salary, pastor. We pay your wages. I've heard that said. We pay your wages. You have to do it. You work for us. We don't submit to you. You submit to us. Let me remind you, pastor, we pay your wages. I'm not the first pastor that's been said to. Won't be the last. Very wrong. You could not pay a pastor enough for what he does. Believe you me, you could not pay any pastor enough for what he does. We do, the wages we get is to stop us working. That's mostly all. So we are to love and we are to submit and obey. Love and respect. Last two, very quickly. Love and respect. Paul mentions this here. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord. Please hear that. After this sermon, if you lost respect for me simply because I pointed these things out to you, as hard as it is, you need to deal with that. You really need to deal with that. And you need to come and say to me, I've lost all respect for you, pastor. You're a dumpling. And we need to somehow work through that. Usually, and if it stays that way, some of us has to part company. You cannot have it. You can't have unruly children and parents or parents bullying their children. Where there is disunity in that way, you cannot have it. A church will not be blessed of the Lord. Respect those. Hold them in the highest regard in love. Our job is to love you and to care for you. Your job is to do the same for us. It's both ways. Respect them for what they do. Hard work. Look at what it also says. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. And it says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, who admonish you. Respect those who admonish you. Those seem two opposite sides of the coin. Believe you me, when an elder or a pastor admonishes a member of the church, respect is not the first thing that they encounter. It's often that later on, though, in my last church, I remember, and it's one of the things I did get right, some of the younger men says, John, I appreciated the time when you roasted us from the pulpit, when you told us exactly you should not be doing this. Call yourself a Christian, you should be doing this. And they, as hard as it was for me to say and to do and to get no brownie points, it was later on they realised this. Respect and love. And lastly, pray. Paul says this in Hebrews, doesn't he? Pray for us. Brothers, pray for us. We need prayer. We are not the finished article. We are people like you. We are flawed. As your mum and dad are flawed, so your elders are flawed. But there is the roles within the church and they have to be recognised. We are tasked with leading and guiding the church. In the list that I gave you, your task is to recognise that position, to obey, to submit, as we teach, as we minister God's word. It's not our word, but it's His word. To submit, to yield, to trust your elders. You do not have to know everything, but to see where they're going. It's not that we can't be advised or you can't come to us and say, what about this, what about that? But when it's only that, then it becomes discouraging. It becomes negative. I remember somebody saying to me once, constructive criticism. Have you heard that? See, when you only see the constructive criticism, it becomes destructive. Constructive criticism needs to be balanced with praise. It really does. But a lot of people think, well, it's just constructive criticism, Pastor. Wish I had 5 pence for every time I'd heard that in a church. Just keeping you right, Pastor, the way you should go. And there's no joy. No joy for you, no joy for me. We end our wee series on the importance of the church elder. I cannot emphasize how important it is that Dan and I function as elders. We will be judged with the greatest severity. We are put under the microscope. The buck with the spirituality of this church in many ways will stop with us. I would swap with you tomorrow because of that. You do it and I'll sit where you are. It is not easy. Pastors resign, this happens, this happens, churches implode. We need to hear this because our natural desire is to go our own way. Elders need to give ourselves to the task. Members need to pray and encourage and support their elders in this job as we move forward. May the Lord bless us as we move together in this way. May the Lord lead us and guide us. Pray for another elder, that the Lord will show up there, that we're able to do more and care for you more. Dan and I feel a bit stretched at times, and we do need another elder. Pray that the Lord will raise up someone to fulfill that role. Let's sing together a closing hymn. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ.